Corinthians, or it'll be up on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. Huh? Hello? That looks like it. It starts with Dare. Sierra? Hi. Can you read that? Yep, both of them. Cases. Trivial matters or small matters is in the New King James. So Paul's not talking about serious crimes. He's not talking about murder or something very serious what gets punished by incarceration or death sentence. Nor is he talking that Christians should never be under the authority of the government or ever appear in court. He's not saying any of those things, because back in Romans chapter 13, we see how he talks about the government in that the government exists to maintain law and order. You know, God ordained the government to be there so it maintains law and order, and it punishes those who commit crime. So he's not talking about crime. He's more talking about like civil court disputes. So he doesn't give a list, but I can imagine maybe somebody cheated somebody out of money, or some married couple, this person cheated on that person, or this guy called me a name, or he talked about my mom, so I don't take him to court, or he stole something of mine. You know, somewhere along the lines, this person offended me. You know, Paul doesn't like the fact that they choose, that the Corinthian church or the Corinthians Christian would choose to go to the local government before going to the church and seeing what they think the situation should happen. In Matthew 18, 15 through 17, Lana?
Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like
it's on. All right, so what does Matthew tell us? Or what is it it's telling us here? What is that? So, I mean, it's a procedure, right? It's a procedure what we do. So if your brother sins against you, brother or sister, you know, girls aren't always innocent, right, guys? So if they sin against you, there's kind of a procedure to do, right? And it sounds like the Corinthians were less about brotherly love and more about everybody doing right in their own eyes. You know, whatever seems good to me is no, he cheated me. I'm gonna take him to court. It wasn't about brotherly love, going to him in love. 1 Corinthians 6, 3 and 4. Jesse? All right, so I don't know about you guys, but something pointed out, like just jumped out. And it sticks right there, something big. It's like, do you not know that we will judge angels? Right? So You know, so let's look at this as far as, so who do you judge? Do you judge somebody who did something wrong, or do you judge something or somebody what did something or what that haven't done anything wrong? Did I confuse you guys? Did I confuse me?
The first option.
The first option? Exactly. Right?
Yes.
Yes. You judge somebody who did something wrong. You don't judge somebody who's innocent. You judge somebody who's wrong. So it means that which angels are we judging then? Little cherub angels, little baby angels? No. The fallen angels, right? There's fallen angels, what fell the same time Satan fell. Now we call them demons, but they're fallen angels. So we're going to be judging fallen angels. Now, who's the ultimate judge? God, right? The King of Kings, right? And where does a king sit? On a throne, right? Exactly. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, Aiden, can you read that? Okay, so what Paul's saying is, Paul's telling the Corinthians that they could be there with Christ when he judges these fallen angels. I don't know how much participation we're going to have judging angels, really, because he's the ultimate judge. But we'll be there with him on his throne when he judges the fallen angels. Now, if we could do that, if we're in charge of that, of judging angels, don't you think we'd be qualified to be settling trivial things? Right? It sure seems like it. I mean, we're judging angels, and we can't take care of, oh, well, this guy threw something in my lawn, and I'm mad at him. You know, these disputes, they didn't need to go to court. You know, and then for the other part is, if you want to live a Christian life, right? And as Christians, that's what we should want. If you want to live a Christian life, why would you go to an unbeliever for advice? It doesn't make any sense, right? If you want to live a Christian life and you want advice, where should you go? To God, ultimately, yes, but to somebody else what's Christian, right? Somewhere along those lines. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 5 and 6, Jaden, can you read that? So sometimes Paul puts it so straightforward that it's like, oh, geez, is there nobody wise among you guys? You know, now if you guys have a problem, I know you guys never had a problem with your brother or sister, but if that ever happened, where do you guys go to? Or who do you go to? Just get over it. So that's a brother on brother. So, I mean, when you slap your little brother around, but no. You just get it over with. Does anybody else go to anybody else? Or just handle it right then and there? It's your brother. Anybody else? Any other solutions? You go to your parents, right? There's a situation where sometimes brothers, me and my brother, we just keep on wrestling. It wouldn't get settled. until my mom said, no, stop. And she wouldn't say it that nicely. But she'd say, stop. Ron, get him. You know, so if we have problems, typically we'd go to our parents, right? And the reason we go to our parents is because they're the moral compass of the family, right? And that's what you want to live in that family, is that moral compass, right? Now, the church is the moral compass to its members. The thing is, if we go to civil court, there's a couple things we need to think about, is who's going to judge us, and then why is that a big deal? Right? Now, the church was in Corinth, so that's the city. Now, the church is planted there, but Corinth wasn't a godly city. So more than likely, you're going to have an unbelieving judge. Now, when you voluntarily, it is the same today as it was back then, you voluntarily go to court, what you're saying is, no matter what the judge says, I give him all the authority, whatever he says, I am going to do. That's what you're saying when you enter that courtroom and you're going before the judge. What if that judge tells you something or tells you to go against God? Or do something that will be going against God? So it's also about how you're going to be judged. Now, should you want a judge with a good sense of what's right and wrong? Right? It'd be kind of helpful, at least if you want to be right. So Corinth, they were okay with a lot of stuff. They were okay with a lot of stuff that God was not and is still not okay with. You know, there are a lot of things that still to this point in the United States are not legal what they were okay with. You know, it hasn't got as bad as what Corinth was here in the United States. Then plus the Gentile court, where they typically hold the Gentile court, was kind of like the food district. So it's middle of town, right? And they didn't have electricity, so they don't do these things at night when nobody else is around. It's when everybody is there. So what would happen if everybody's there and then you're bickering and disputing here in the middle of them? Everybody knows your business, right? Everybody hears it. Everybody sees what you're up to. You know, gossip and drama were very busy in Corinth. Now, as Christians, what are we supposed to be known for?
Loving everybody.
Exactly. Loving everybody. In John 13:35, Ryan obviously knows this verse, but I'll let him read.
By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another.
So do you think if this bickering and disputes going on among all these people, do you think that's a good witness of how Christians act? No, it's probably a bad witness. They'd be like, yeah, I really want to be a Christian and just fight among ourselves. In 1 Corinthians 6, 7, and 8, Stephen? Sorry. I should have had the bigger text, huh?
Now therefore it is already an
utter
failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourself do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren.
So Paul is suggesting, instead of arguing in public, that it would be better to forgive and forget the one who cheated you. I know sometimes that's hard, but he thinks it would be better than dishonoring one's Christian witness before pagans. So basically, what are you achieving if you ruin that? Yes. Yeah, we're not talking about murder. So, I mean, we're talking, you know, it might be more than a few bucks. I mean, who knows? I mean, civil law goes, it kind of could go high. So he's talking about other things. He's just saying there's a point where if you truly love somebody, you know, it's better just to forgive them. Even though they cheated you, even though you've been wrong, but sometimes it's better just to let it go than to ruin something. Now, I mean, there's times where you can't let things go, and I know. And he's not talking about that. He's just talking about there are some times that...
Tiny stuff, but it doesn't really make sense to argue over.
Huh?
So, like, tiny stuff that doesn't make sense to argue over.
Right.
You should just,
just let it go. Right. Now, and we're not sure, he doesn't specifically tell, because Paul wrote Corinthians, right? He wrote Corinthians to tell the church in Corinth the things that they were messing up on. He doesn't go into all these details exactly what they're squabbling over and what the cases were about, but we know that they're trivial things or little things. So, yes, on those little things, it's better just to forgive them, even if it causes you to be out some money, even if it was embarrassing they called you a name, because they could take you to court for name-calling back then. Yeah. Yeah, if somebody called you a name, you could take them to court because there's slander. And you still can do that today, but you have to, it'd be harder. Well, that's what he's saying. It's kind of a waste. If there are certain things, you know, civil court is needed for certain things. Certain things. But we're talking about between brothers and sisters in Christ. Especially those people. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 and 10... TJ.
Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do you not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, or drunkards, not revilers, or extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God.
So that's quite a list, right? Quite a list. And that, on that list, if you break that down to different groups, you got the sexual immoral people. which Corinth was very known for their sexual immorality. The simple answer is God designed sex for a husband and his wife. That's it. Anything else, not okay. Now, something that I thought of is like, then why is idolaters in the middle of that part of the list? Right? It's right there between fornicators and adulterers. Is it because it's kind of like cheating on God with a fake God? Maybe. But back then, the idols, they had a lot of sexual practices, what went along with them in their worship. And then plus, the idols were kind of like the porno of the day. You know, they didn't have internet on their phones. It was crazy. They couldn't even text. I don't know how they lived. But they didn't have the internet. So the idols were kind of like the image that got people thinking about sex. So they were pornographic. Next, we talk about people what enjoy stealing, or that's how they make their living, on stealing. And then we don't want to forget about those people who would argue or fight or threaten. Now, these fine citizens on this list are the same ones that would have been the appointed judges in Corinthians, to the Corinthians. Now, do you think this righteous bunch of people would give you a fair trial? Doesn't sound like it. Doesn't sound like they're really upstanding citizens. But you need to realize that this is the majority of the people what they lived with at the time. So why would you first go to somebody what didn't have the same morals or the same beliefs as you for help? Does it make any sense? No, it makes more sense to go to somebody what has your same belief, right? In 1 Corinthians 6:11, Sierra, can you read that? Okay, now, these Corinthians would have known how misguided the citizens of Corinth were. How, you ask, is because obviously they live in the same city. They see this stuff going around all the time. And I said the courtroom was right in the middle of town, so no doubtly, as Christians, they would have been there. They would have seen what's going on. But some of the church members were just like them. You know, they were sinners. But the difference is that they found Christ. Now, Paul isn't putting them down. He's not putting them down, making them feel bad about that. He's reminding them. He's reminding them what Jesus did for them. What Jesus, or how Jesus gave them a free gift. They were washed. Jesus had forgiven them and made them clean. Right? They were sanctified. They were made righteous. They were given control of their own desires. You know, not the old desires, but the desire to follow a righteous way. A desire to focus on God and not the world. They were justified. They were freed from the sins that bonded them. being saved by grace of God. It didn't matter how many bad things they did or how bad the bad thing was. God loved them and wanted to save them. That's what he's reminding the Corinthians. It's like you don't want to go back and get advice from your old self. Then why would you go to these unrighteous, these unbeliever judges? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Anna? So being a new creation, you know, when you get saved, you're a new creation. You know, we should show others the love that God shows us. And if we love another person, we don't want to mistreat them, right? And if we are mistreated by them, we don't want vengeance, do we? We want them to learn what they did wrong, right? We want them to repent. And the reason we want them to repent is so that they could get saved. Now, this is about your neighbor. How much more should we love our brothers and sisters in Christ? We should even really be looking out for those people even more, right? We're supposed to witness to everybody, but we're also supposed to protect our family, right? Jaden, can you close this in prayer?